because of foreign wars we wage. More to do with the colors blue and red. Too many laws and too much government. Can you tell me where the Constitution went? The Bill of Rights is just hanging by a thread. So many people trying to cross the border. Politicians build a new world order. Too many minds are convinced they should be led. I've gotta be free the way God made men. And I won't be ruled by the dance. Right to self-defense. They say you're safer, but they don't make sense. Dangerous ones will not turn into guns. All the food you know is asking for. All the bodies made on foreign shores. Come a day when there'll be real hell to pay. I've gotta be free the way God made men. And I won't
welcome to today's broadcast of Tap Into the Truth. Hope you're having a fantastic day wherever you are and whatever you may be doing, with all the usual caveats, of course. With you, as always, I'm your ever so humble host, Tim Tap, coming to you live from historic Rome County, Tennessee. But if you're one of the many, many people out there that are actually hearing this sometime other than the live broadcast, thank you so much for being here. I certainly appreciate it, regardless of how you're listening, whether that's via podcast through one of the many great formats like iTunes and iHeartRadio and Spotify and PodAddict and all these other great locations, or if you're listening to the rebroadcast over terrestrial radio that can be heard Monday through Friday at WCET 101.7 FM Columbia Talk every weekday from 4 into 5 p.m. Eastern, or better yet, every single day of the week, Sunday all the way back around to Saturday at KYAH 540 AM Utah Stock Authority, or only on Saturdays if you're listening at KDIL 105.7 FM, Kennewick, Washington. Thank you so much. For your information, the time of the live broadcast is October the 8th, and we are just a smidge after 7 p.m. Eastern. So there's a few things I want to get into, and I'm going to try to go super fast. But before I do that, I want to give a shout out to Chief, who's hanging out in the chat room already. Given that I'm not actually broadcasting at the regular time, I think Chief's caught on to my shenanigans for Tuesdays. Had an opportunity to go a little early, and so I wanted to. And, you know, have other things to try to get to later today. But I am obligated to make sure that there is plenty of fresh content through the daily activities, and I already kind of missed out on one broadcast last week, so I feel bad about making you guys listen to older stuff again so quickly. So here I am. I'm going to try to run through this and then get on with my day, but thank you, Chief, for being here. Great show that you had yourself earlier today, by the way. Chief is the host of Simple Facts of Life, a great program that can be discovered right here at the home broadcasting platform of blogtalkradio.com. You can mosey on over, look for Simple Facts of Life in the search bar. And that will take you right to his show. You can listen to the archives. You can join him live on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern. You, of course, can, you know, you can adjust that to your appropriate time zone. And you can listen live at those points. You don't have to sign up for anything to do that. But if you do sign up for free, you got a lot of great options that go on right there. And this is not a commercial. Blog Talk Radio does not pay me. I am simply telling you how you can come along and participate. If you sign up for free, not only can you participate in the chat rooms and become part of the show, but if you decided, you know what, you could even do your own show. You know, if you felt like that's what you want to do, you can do that for free for a 30-minute stint. And you'd be surprised. It's a great way to get your feet wet and learn about whether or not you really would want to do this. So, you know, seems easy from the outside. And believe it or not, even some of the worst shows on this platform involve a great deal of show prep. So maybe you'd like it, maybe you wouldn't. But let's get on to the topic, shall we? An hour, which is all this broadcast is tonight, goes by so very quickly. So I'm going to try to get through this as fast as I can. So we're going to start out with a little nothing. Shouldn't take very long at all. I call it a little nothing because that's all this is really going to be. But it is noteworthy because of two very important factors. Number one, again, it shows where we are at with the culture war and where television networks really, really want to put their money, want to put their investment, and how they want to socially engineer how you think about things. What am I talking about, you may wonder? Well, if you haven't already heard, fired. FBI Director James Comey is returning to television screens before your very eyes very soon. But this time, he'll be played by Jeff Daniels. Yes, that's right. CBS is in fact planning on making a miniseries that is loosely based on Comey's 2018 memoir, in my opinion, humorlessly titled A Higher Loyalty, Truth, Lies, and Leadership. Yeah, I'm not sure that he qualified. Anyway, Comey's been out of the limelight for a little while now, or at least he's been trying to maintain a low profile. But, you know, he's never been more than one bated breath away from trying to come out and say something anti-Trumpian. But all that, it's over now. Speculation is that he might actually be thinking about jumping in the race to challenge Donald Trump in 2020. And he began posting all these introspective travel photos on Twitter and, you know, doing that rather than complaints about his treatment at the hands of the current president. But his life story, it seems, is exactly the kind of material that Hollywood's been looking for. It's also enough to bring film, television, and stage star Jeff Daniels on board and to lure him away from his current role in Broadway's To Kill a Mockingbird. So, evidently Brendan Gleeson has signed on as well. He'll be playing Donald Trump. The Comey story is pretty magical, according to a group called Rap. See, he's been a part of some of the biggest headline-grabbing events in the last decade, from prosecuting the mafia and Martha Stewart to helping change the Bush administration's policies on torture and electronic surveillance, overseeing the Hillary Clinton email investigation, as well as ties between the Trump campaign and Russia. Comey has been involved in some of the most consequential cases and policies in recent history. All right, so as you can tell from that glowing statement, there's a few things that you know you can count on. Number one, the first thing you can count on is do not expect the miniseries to be critical in any way whatsoever of Mr. James Comey. However, and not just because the actors on board, especially Daniels, are such outspoken progressives who might view Comey as some sort of patron saint or something, even if he's largely responsible for a last-minute crush of bad public relation for Hillary Clinton, and recently said he disagreed with the decision to pursue impeachment. How dare he be so not super uber anti-Trumpian? You can just count on it to be that way because the script's author drew from Comey's memoir, at least in part, but fleshed out his treatment by conducting several interviews with the man himself. So he's taken part of the memoir, and then he's taken a bunch of friendly little interviews. And at the end of the day, CBS seems to think that they're going to garner some big-time ratings with the miniseries. So something to be watching for. It's upcoming, and I know every single one of you out there right now was thinking, gee, guys, when are we going to get some more James Comey? Good news. At least as far as we can tell right now, it doesn't appear to be limited to CBS All Access. So the best part is if you do accidentally end up watching this or something, you didn't have to pay anything extra than what you're already paying to have network television. So, you know, I suppose that's a silver lining. Now, if you've already cut the cable, though, and all you have are streaming services, I can't help you there. Now, with that out of the way, and whoo, am I glad that's out of the way, because I tell you what, I have little to no interest whatsoever in that. But I did think it was worth noting, but just like I mentioned, because of the culture war, there is something a little more important, and I may run a little long with this story, and it's only because of how vitally important this is. Because we're seeing a push like this going on around the world in places where leftist policies and political correctness are still powerful notions. In places where the leftists are calling the shots, we see this. And make no mistake about it, this is clearly a form of child abuse. But let me go into it. If I don't get to the additional stories I was hoping to before the end of the show in regards to some new bombshells from the road to impeachment 2019, then I'm sure that stuff's going to keep. But this is important. So it turns out there's this psychology group. And it literally represents by membership 24,000 psychologists in Australia. And this group claims that children should neither have to get parental consent nor undergo mandatory counseling to undergo irreversible gender transition surgeries. Let me clean that up a little bit for you. All right. Now, that was pretty straightforward, but because of how I phrased it, maybe it's a little harder to follow than what I intend. Basically, these psychologists, this group of psychologists in Australia, they're saying right now, children shouldn't have to get parental permission to undergo these life-changing, irreversible, life-altering, permanent mutilations to their bodies that they're calling a surgery. They not only should they not have to get parental consent, but you know what else? Right now there's laws in Australia that require children who are seeking this type of going with the air quotes here, just in case you didn't realize it, this kind of treatment in response to their gender confusion. Right now, the law says that there is a mandatory counseling that must take place first, too. In other words, let's try to talk to you about why you're feeling confused about your gender before we do something that can't be undone. Personally, I think that seems like a pretty reasonable thing to do. Now, the Australian Psychological Society, the APS, sounds like a bad rap group, the APS, according to a report from the Australian, I'm going to take them as a reputable source here. According to the APS, they say that the disapproval of one or both parents should not inhibit a child under the age of 16 from consenting to procedures. Now, the Daily Mail also reported this last week, as it turns out. And here's from the Daily Mail. The top group argued that children suffering from gender confusion would be assessed by competent doctors, which would apparently trump any parental reservations. Now, basically, they're saying, and again, I'm no longer quoting in case you're not following me. Basically, what they're saying is we're going to have competent, again with the air quotes, it just doesn't work so good. I'm going to have to make this a video show. I don't have the face for video, but we're going to have to do it so you can see the air quotes because I'm literally physically doing it just in case. Competent doctors. They think that these competent doctors decide, hey, you know what? We should just do the surgery. That should be good enough. And the parents should just sit down and shut up. You have no rights here, parents. Sit down. Anyway, back to quoting the story from the Daily Mail. The APS made the claims in an unpublished law reform submission, according to The Australian, saying, quote, it was only last year transgender children needed to seek the approval of the family court to have irreversible surgery. The APS stance comes from questions floated by the Tasmanian Law Reform Institute, which is, quote, in the process of reviewing legislation which allows teenagers over 16 to change their gender identity on their birth certificates. Now, the group of psychologists also argued that the mandatory pre-surgery counseling is often an unnecessary burden on the child. Now, I'm going to step away from the report again for just a second. I know normally I pretty much give you the high points of whatever articles I'm reading, and then I go in and comment. Sometimes I can't help myself. This is one of those cases where I can't help myself. An unnecessary burden on the child. Listening. Having the brakes pumped. Having somebody sit there and talk to you about why you want to do this. Maybe there's a better route. Maybe patience as you work your way through the rest of puberty, especially if you may be a late bloomer. Never mind the fact that in an overwhelming majority of cases of gender confusion, as the children navigate puberty and enter into young adulthood, a majority of the time, gender confusion works itself out. All by itself. Doesn't require special counseling, although I suppose if you actually have a good counselor, it wouldn't hurt. If you have a counselor that's pushing you into, oh, yeah, I want to be the counselor that has 30 transgender people. You get what I'm saying. How many times have you heard me say, and if you've listened to the show for a while, you've heard me say it a lot. If you're new to the show, trust me. Or you know what? Don't trust me. Go hit the archives. Go check it out. Listen for a long time. Be kind and be patient because, you know, doing the show live leads to technical glitches and occasional flubs. And you know, hopefully I'm getting better, but I'm not always that great. I know. The point being, go back, check it out for yourself. Never take my word for it. Never, never. Do the research. Point being is the overwhelming majority of times, whoever, I've specifically said to the LGBT community multiple times, be careful who you let be your spokesperson. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but the overwhelming majority of the time, the people that are speaking the loudest, the people that are claiming to be allied, the people who are making the most noise are not actually what's the vernacular here? Members of the community. And as such, they can only think they understand what you're going through. But in lots of cases, it's not too hard to find possibly some ulterior motive for speaking up for you. Now, I know it's really hard to understand sometimes because you've been taught that, first of all, I'm conservative. Boom, I must hate you. So don't listen to me. that happens pretty easy. But if you take the time to listen to what I'm saying, and if you really listen, I have never approached this topic from a position of less than brotherly love for my fellow human beings. I want you to have the best possible life you can have, and the statistics show quite clearly that those of you who are legitimate transgender, who suffer from gender dysphoria, and who go through your life, whether you transition or not, have one of the highest rates of suicide on the planet of any other group, if you want to break it down in any other demographic. Higher than that of soldiers suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome. Higher than that of any other group, period. We don't even know how high the numbers actually are because, again, the sensitive nature of being transgendered. So many people don't come forward. They don't self-identify. So I have been an advocate for some time for you getting the type of support that you need, whether it's support from your family or professional counseling. But that professional counseling has to be serving your interest, not their own. And I'm going to get to why I'm concerned that this is about serving their own interest here in a little bit. I've already kind of touched on it. And most of you guys out there are smart enough that you can probably figure this out for yourselves. But it's kind of up to me to say it since, you know, I'm behind the microphone and all. But these people legitimately said that the mandatory pre-surgery counseling is an unnecessary burden. Is it really an unnecessary burden on the child who is about to make a life-altering decision that they'll never be able to do anything about once it's done? Retransitioning is actually a term. It is out there for those that actually go for the full reassignment surgeries, or as I simply call it, mutilation. It is extremely difficult to have a retransition at a physical level with any success. The body is not meant to go through these mutilations. But are they really concerned about the unnecessary burden on the child, or are they concerned about how quickly these kids can get moved over from the position of maybe I'll outgrow this and be fine to the I'm almost guaranteed I really need a psychologist or a psychiatrist for the rest of my life, however long or short that may be? There is a self-interest at play here, boys and girls. Now, the APS said that the child's gender identity had likely already experienced considerable medical oversight. Now, I find that extremely difficult concept to grasp in so much that many of these kids aren't overtly open, even though we have this current culture of tolerance and openness, and it's trendy to be transgender, which also kind of makes it scary because, again, the folks that are legitimately going through gender dysphoria, they have a different set of needs than somebody that has been convinced because of the current culture and the social justice warrior mentality that tells you that it's cool to be this and, hey, I know somebody that is, and now it is kind of cool. Somebody who's going through that and is folding to peer pressure and say, hey, you know what? So am I. But once the concept of gender fluidity was introduced into the brain pans of a lot of mushy-minded kids, this terrible Pandora's box was opened up. And there is still a huge difference between people who are legitimately suffering from gender confusion. And then I still kind of think, based on everything that I've read and everything I've looked at to this point and conversations that I've had, that there is a very real difference between gender confusion, legitimate, and then gender dysphoria, which is much more serious and much more lasting and requires a higher level of care, actual care, not these so-called treatments that are being pushed on kids. So to just assume that they've already had considerable medical oversight, it sounds to me like you guys are just trying to lay down some intelligent sounding foo-foo. That's a technical term, by the way, foo-foo. They continued by saying, parents who disapprove of their children's medical treatment pose a significant barrier for the child. Again, let's be honest. The mutilation of someone's body, particularly when they are too young to be making these life-altering decisions because their sexual identity has not even been determined yet, they have not lived long enough to determine their sexual identity. And I, right now, am not knocking anyone for any choices they make. In fact, your choices are your business. It's not any of mine. And you would be shocked, I assure you, if you happen to be a leftist, particularly if you happen to be a leftist who considers yourself part of the LGBTQ community, I'm sure you would be shocked to find out how many people just like myself really don't care what you do as far as it's your business. Just don't make it ours. Don't expect us to pay for it. Don't expect us to pretend that we have to go by a secondary set of rules. Don't expect us to publicly, we're out and we're doing this and that we're just supposed to openly and willingly ignore things that are obvious. I'm talking about public bathrooms and dressing rooms right now. And the reason why I'm talking about that is because here's the one thing, and it goes to the very point that I'm trying to make, and they don't even understand it. We have been using the same bathrooms with transgendered for decades. We just never knew it. Okay, so if you are legitimately so good at this transition that we can't tell, fine. But why make a thing out of it? That was the point during the whole North Carolina bit. That was the point during some of the other states that then started raising the same issue. When you make a public policy that just says, you know what, it's okay. Just ask Target how long it was before sexual predators were trying to use that as cover to go about their dirty deeds. You can ask them. They won't tell you the truth because they still want you to believe that, oh, that's just a few anecdotes. It's not. It's a matter of public health. It's a matter of public safety. And it's a matter of understanding that there is a very real difference between someone who is actually suffering from either gender confusion or gender dysphoria and somebody who's simply a predator who's going to take advantage of allowances that are given. If somebody's going in dressed all butch and they're all stubbly and they're making no efforts to look feminine whatsoever, I don't care what they say their mindset is. If they're not even making the effort to look feminine, they got no business being in the women's room. Stay out of the ladies' room if you ain't at least trying to look like a lady. And you better be dang well convincing at it if you really want me to be okay with it. But again, as long as you keep your business, nobody else really cares. I mean, sure, there's probably some, blah, 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 but most of us, no, not so much. We only start to care when you start making it our business. So don't make it our business, and it's okay. But this is still child abuse, and this is child abuse with an insidious English, Tim. It's a good language to speak when that's what you're supposed to be speaking. It's child abuse with an insidious secondary purpose that is self-serving for these folks. So what we've got going on here is these folks are complaining that the kids are supposed to undergo counseling. Why would they care if the kids have mandatory counseling before surgery like this? Well, maybe because the counseling is relatively successful at talking them out of it, or at least talking them into waiting until they're a little bit older and better prepared emotionally to make some decision of this nature. Do you think? Why else would psychiatrists not want them to get counseling at that point in time? Because aren't they the ones who are supposed to be arguing for counseling? But then they turn around and they talk about parents disapproving. They refer to it as medical treatment. Medical treatment is something that actually solves a problem. And unless there is a biological problem with your body, it's not a treatment to mutilate yourself. Trying to put your body more in line with the image you have of yourself is not treatment. It's just not. So looking to just skirt right past the parents who may be objecting to this, the APS suggests that hospitals and even advocacy groups, that's right, people like themselves who have no interest in what's really going on and no actual knowledge of the individuals involved in the cases, they're suggesting that these hospitals and these advocacy groups petition the courts. Beyond that, the group also argued that children should have access to legal counsel in order to seek authorization for their own gender-related treatments. In other words, the government should have on their little Rolodex a number of lawyers prepared to go to the family court to litigate as necessary, to emancipate if necessary, to get these kids into the surgeries. Why are they so hot to force these kids into a situation that in just a few short years they may end up regretting? Could it possibly have something to do with gender transition regret? You know, I've talked about this topic on multiple times. I've had an actual person who's went through the full gender transition on the show a few times. First time was back in 2016, and I actually shared a link to that earlier today when this topic came up. Did that via social media. And it has everything to do with the fact that when you make these changes, they can't be undone. Not if you push too far. Not if you do too much. These people literally want these kids to have lawyers available to fight their parents. And they want to end the mandatory counseling before surgery. So there is something that is happening that may be the fly in their ointment, that may be why they're pushing so much harder now and why we're seeing it not just in Australia. Because if you're, again, paying attention, there are mounting reports of gender transition regret. The advice from the APS is particularly troubling. If you listen to any of these stories of these people who went through transitions, who went through the mutilations of their bodies, and then once they got older, their gender confusion was solved, and guess what? Their body still isn't in alignment with now their current image of themselves because they had been what they needed to be all along. Not everybody who thinks they're transgendered at 16 actually is. Not everybody who thinks they're gender confused at 16 actually is. That's why we wait till at least 18 before we let people enter into contracts, before we consider them legally an adult. That's why we wait till 21 before we let them legally purchase alcohol. Although, if you still look at the drunk driving statistics, it probably should be 35 if you really wanted to eliminate that as a significant source of injury and death on the highways in the United States. But then again, what's the average age of the U.S. House of Representatives? It's a little skewed right now. Some folks have stayed there a lot longer than they usually do. But it still comes out kind of youngish when you kind of put them all together for an average. (Clears throat) I would like to briefly talk to you about an individual who goes by the name of Charlie Evans, 28-year-old, who was born a biological female, who viewed herself as a male for almost 10 years before deciding to detransition. Now, Evans, of course, was talking to Sky News when she said that she had spoken to hundreds of young people, mostly same-sex attracted women, who also regret their gender transition. The young woman has encountered an online community of 5,000 plus in a similar position, at least according to this report, saying, quote, "I'm in communication with 19 and 20-year-olds who have had full gender reassignment surgery who wish they hadn't, and their dysphoria hasn't been relieved. They didn't feel better for it." Evans added that, "I think some of the common characteristics are that they tend to be around their mid-20s. They're mostly female and mostly same-sex attracted and often autistic as well. They don't know what their options are now." So one of the women who reached out to Evans began her gender transition at the age of 13. After taking testosterone, her voice got a lot deeper. She grew facial hair and her body changed. She had been planning to have surgery to remove her breast this summer. Now at 21, the young woman, who only wished to be identified as Ruby, wants to try to undo the damage done to her body and live as a female. Quote, "I didn't think any change was going to be enough in the end, and I thought it was better to work on changing now. I'd work on changing how I felt about myself than changing my body." Now, also as noted in the Sky News article here, the report, pushback against the unreversible changing of gender-confused children has been largely deemed as being transphobic. How dare you open up your mouth and say something negative about this? How dare you question the wisdom of these globalist leftists pushing the PC culture? I find myself really having to self-edit right now. There's a multitude of reasons why these people want to push these ideas and these notions on you, and they are almost all nefarious. I've already ran a little long, and I really need to sneak in the Edwards Notebook and the veteran songs and the songs and stories veterans tip of the day. So let me see if I can't get back over to my switchboard. Let me see if I can't get that started, and then when we come back, we will talk a little bit more about this, and I'll still see if maybe I can sneak a little bit about at least two stories that came across today that are worth looking at. While I'm waiting for my switchboard to switch, come back over so where I can use it. I hate it when this happens. That lag is building up. Well, there we go. It's the Bob Newhart syndrome. Bob played a psychologist, and the people in therapy were the same people throughout the run of the show. Keeping the folks in therapy is good for business. Chief making a very good point. He made it several minutes ago. Sorry I didn't see it sooner, Chief. But yeah, he's using the Bob Newhart show as an example, saying that it's the Bob Newhart show syndrome. On the show, Bob played a psychologist. Actually, I think he played a psychiatrist, didn't he? Or was he a psychologist? I don't recall now. But the people in his therapy group were the same people throughout the whole run of the show. Keeping the folks in therapy is good for business, absolutely. Let's do the Edwards Notebook and then the Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day, and then we will continue this discussion again because it is so important. Stay with me, guys. I'll be right back. And evidently I'm not going anywhere.
If America continues to reject biblical principles, she will eventually find herself tossed upon the ash heap of history. Hello, I'm Ron Edwards. On today's page from the Edwards Notebook, the United States of America was founded upon the bedrock of both the tremendous principles enumerated in the living word known as the Holy Bible and the insights of William Blackstone of Great Britain, whose influential writings helped solidify in the minds of our founding fathers the true basis of liberty. In regards to the Bible, numerous men of renown testify to its worthiness and what a blessing it is to both we as individuals and our republic as a whole. The great innovator and horticulturalist George Washington Carver stated, "The secret of my success? It is simple. It is found in the Bible. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." It was Benjamin Franklin who noted, "A Bible and a newspaper in every house, a good school in every district, all studied and appreciated, as they merit, are the principal support of virtue, morality, and civil liberty." Wake up, America, and please see the light. I'm Ron Edwards. Please view my new website, theronedwards.talkspot.com.
Ron Edwards, the new voice of America.
Sponsored by the Tri-County Liberty Coalition.
Dan Perkins here with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day. Did you know that perhaps as many as 50,000 disabled veterans have student loan debt? Are you one of them? Did you know that the president has issued an order not only to forgive the debt, but wants to make it easier and quicker and get it done now? So here's your veterans tip of the day. If you are disabled and you went to college, first of all, you are my hero. If you have been struggling with making the loan payments, you might be eligible to have your loans be forgiven, and there will be no federal income tax liability for the forgiven loan amounts. Contact your local VA center or go to va.gov for more information on how you can get this student loan paid in full. You had the courage to get an education. Paying off your loans is just another way for us to say thank you for your service. This has been Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am back. Thank you so very much for staying with me through that very brief break. I've still been fuming, but I've got a little better control of myself. I was getting really emotional, really angry, quite honestly. Because here's, it's pretty simple. You got a huge group of leftists that are globalists, that are eugenicists. They believe in population control. They love the idea of getting young people involved in the entire confusing mess that this transgenderism poses currently. And again, let me reiterate, I am not talking hate at anyone. I'm not directing hate at anyone. I'm not being transphobic, but that's still what I'm going to be labeled when I make these statements. I want someone who's suffering from gender confusion to have a legitimate opportunity to work that out for themselves. And I want somebody who's legitimately suffering from gender dysphoria to get the help that they need. And I definitely do not want people that don't really need to be involved with hormone replacements or having body parts removed or having body parts changed, altered in any fashion. This should be something that is done as a last resort for people that are well beyond the age of consent, who have a firm grasp and understanding of how this is going to affect the rest of their life. And guess what? There are 25-year-olds that don't fit that bill. Why is this group of psychologists pushing it for people as young as 16 to not even need parental permission, to not have to get the current mandatory pre-surgery counseling? For the globalists that are pushing the eugenics agenda, this is simply population control. They'll support it. They'll approve it. They're okay with it. Same as they're okay with pedophilia being considered just another preference. It's not, you know. It's not just another sexual orientation, and it should never be accepted. And the folks that are part of the LGBTQ community, they're against that being considered it that way. You know why? Because they don't want people associating them with the same type of deviance that exists within pedophilia. A lot of them don't like the idea of transgenders who have undergone this this whole reassignment surgery, if we're going to use the PC terms, to be associated with them either. That there is these issues, particularly, and I don't know if you noticed when blah, 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 during the article, but an overwhelming majority of these gender-confused people tend to be same-sex-attracted women, the lesbians. We've already had feminists, and now we have a growing group of lesbians that are coming out against the notion that men can be women. You know why? Because you can't. There's nothing you can do that's going to change your chromosomes. You're either XX or you're XY, or you are a biological anomaly. If you're anything other than those two, you are an anomaly. And that, in and of itself, doesn't necessarily mean anything good or anything bad. It just means that's who you are. You're a little different. Guess what? All of humanity is a little different. It's okay to be different. Try not to be too weird. That's all. That's all we ever ask. Now, I myself gave up on that advice a long time ago, so I don't hold myself to that. But if you want a happy life with lots of friends, you'll be all right. Once you get to be my age and you realize that, having lots of friends is overrated. You only need a few good ones because, as it turns out, you're only going to have one or two really good ones anyway. The rest, they're after something. Some of you only have good time friends. Where are they at when these times aren't so good? Again, I want to reiterate, be careful who you let speak for you. Be careful who you let advocate for you. Because if psychologists are trying to put the kibosh on counseling at one point, then that means they are planning on guaranteeing that you're going to need lifelong counseling after whatever it is they're pushing. This is strictly about the numbers. This is strictly about having cash in their pockets. That's what they're after. That's their motivation. They're not speaking for the LGBTQ community. They're speaking for their profession. And their profession wants to get as many of you young kids hooked, necessary, needing their services for the rest of your life. That's what this is about. Stop being so trusting of people that are going to come up to you and tell you what you want to hear. Because chances are, if they're not willing to tell you something you don't want to hear, then they have an ulterior motive. You may not think it based on how I'm saying what I'm telling you right now, but right now I'm being a much better advocate for all of you kids out here who think you have gender confusion than anybody who says all the pretty words and wants to give you a hug and wants to be accepting and wants to tell you that it's okay and you should start taking hormone replacements or hormone blockers or you should do something to stop puberty at freaking age 8 because that's the only way to really stop it. And how else are you going to be who you are? How many of you really know who you are at 8 years old? How many of you know who you are at 16 years old? How many of you know who you're going to be at 25 years old? Go find a much older adult that you trust and ask them how much they really knew about themselves when they finally figured out who they really were, because you're going to be surprised. Because that's the other thing about being a teenager is you already think you know all the answers. I wish I knew as much now as I thought I knew then. It's kind of a cliched thing. You've heard it a million times if you paid attention, but you know what? It's the truth. There's reasons why cliches become cliche. Quick shout out to Annie, the radio chick Ubellis, who's joined us. Just a few minutes left here, Annie. I started early tonight. Chief is accusing me of thinking that I'm Rush Limbaugh now. I'm not. Or am I a time traveling Rush Limbaugh after? I don't know. Anyway, the point still comes down to this. It is criminal and it is child abuse to be pushing these hormone blockers and then hormone replacements on anyone, period. It is criminal to undergo surgeries that mutilate your bodies before you're of age to consent on your own. It is a mistake for you to consent to have a surgery to mutilate yourself until you have had time to become comfortable with who you are. And you're not going to know that at 16. You're not going to know that at 18. You may not know that till you're in your 30s or maybe even longer in some cases. And you know what? That's not a problem either. Hang on for the ride because that's where you are. That's what life is about. We live in a world where the media is making up stories about Donald J. Trump, and if you're a leftist, you want to believe it. If you're a conservative, you want the truth. If you're just a hardcore Trump train rider, then you don't want to believe it. There's more than one position, and more than one thing can be true at the same time. Ukraine was involved in the 2016 elections on the side of Hillary Clinton. Hillary wants to be your president again. She's trying to position herself to get back into the race. Watch for it. And watch for Elizabeth Warren to have an accident. Here's hoping she survives. We've got bombshell reports now that are claiming that the so-called whistleblower has a strong professional relationship with one of the 2020 Democratic presidential hopefuls. Nobody's heard who yet, but that exists. That's where we're at. I've only got a few minutes left. The show ended up starting about 5 minutes late, but I'm going to fill that up mostly with some music. I've got about 90 seconds left that I'm actually going to talk, and so I obviously didn't have any time to get to the two stories that I just mentioned. There's evidence everywhere. Glenn Beck over at the Blaze did an entire show the other day where he laid down the timeline and expressed exactly what was going on. And Joe Biden just makes up a very small part of what was happening with Democrats and U.S. taxpayer dollars that disappeared into the bank of an oligarch. Things that you should know, things that are criminal, things that should have people going to prison. But instead, the media wants to go after Donald Trump. Why? Because he's trying to expose it, because he's trying to fight back. He's trying to save the republic. And it doesn't matter if you like him or not. There's a lot of people who are honest conservatives that don't like the kind of person Donald J. Trump was and has been and probably still is. But if you can look at what he's accomplished, what he's done and what he's fought against, this is a man that we should be praying for his health and his vigor. It's because somebody else is going to have to do this. I think he's making a mistake with northern Syria. We'll get into that on a later broadcast. And hopefully, it looks like he's finally backing away a little bit. Hopefully he will. Hopefully he'll have an end around. Because if we turn Turkey loose on the Kurds, one of the few actual true allies of us in fighting freaking Islamic terror in that region, then we have done a moral wrong and we've done a huge disservice to other actual, honest-to-goodness freedom fighters. It's going to have to be it for today. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being here. Thank you so much, Chief and Annie, for both being here. Like I mentioned before, Chief is the host of Simple Facts of Life, And Annie, the radio chick Ubellis, is the host of Southern Sense Talk Radio. You can find her over at her website. This is the best place to go, southern-sense.com. That's going to be it for now. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, as I always say at this point of the show, don't take my word for it. Definitely, definitely don't take their word for it. Be prepared to put in some effort and, more importantly, to use your brain if you really want to tap into the truth. See you tomorrow night, guys, and I'm out. Well, I think about it, if I can get the music to play. again, live radio. Da-da-da-da-da. And at some point, we'll actually get some music played. Please check out patriotmusic.com when you get the opportunity. Patriotmusic.com. And maybe it's kind of anticlimactic when this happens, isn't it?
Using both hands. Founders knew the Second Amendment was the final one to keep, to hold our other rights intact so we'd never become sheep. Stalin, Hitler, Mao Amin, and Pol Pot, they told us things that you never forgot. Is using both hands.